Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. As I get to continue in this series I'm preaching, Genesis chapter 41, which is a special word for all of our graduates tonight and for each and every one of you that are online and all of you that are gathered in this hallowed hall. Genesis chapter 41, we're going to read quite a few verses. Continuing in a series called Living the Dream, KSM Commencement and King's Chaplaincy. Welcome. So I'll be talking to all of you. You're going to love the title. The title is Elevated Overnight with a Lifetime of Preparation. A lot of people think, you know, you're just going to get it's a pop right out one day and just go right to the top. But you look at a large tree as wide and spanning as those branches and leaves are, is as deep and wide as a root is, the roots are. And what looks like an overnight success many times is really a lifetime of preparation. Stand up with me if you're able to. Genesis chapter 41, verse 1, reading from the New International Version. When 2 full years have passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He had a what? He had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, and out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat. And they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again, and he had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads, and Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I'm reminded." What a jerk. We'll get there. "Today I'm reminded of my shortcomings." Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Verse 11, each of us had a dream that same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And the things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream. No one could interpret them. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot," Joseph replied to Pharaoh. "But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Now, verse 17 through 24 tells those two dreams again, a little bit different. Go down to verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same." That's Pharaoh recounting the dreams to Joseph, so Joseph hears them. "God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. Seven lean, ugly cows that came up after are 7 years. So are the seven worthless grains, heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 29, 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then the abundance of Egypt will be forgotten, and famine will ravage the land. The abundance of the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect the food for these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh in verse 37 and all of his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man? One in whom is the Spirit of God? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made this all known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. What a passage. From a dungeon all the way to second in command of the strongest nation in the world. Father, thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, light upon our path. Thank you for every man, woman, and child that's here. Thank you for these graduates. May they hear this word and may it burn in their hearts, bringing forth eternal results. In fact, may this service have far-reaching impact even unto eternity. We thank you for all you've done, all that you're doing, all that you will do tonight. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd encourage you to fill notes in. Been preaching a series called Living the Dream. Bump your neighbor and say, I'm living the dream. Yeah, God has a dream for you and he wants you to live it. You need to live the dream that God has for you. Right into this text, 2 years have passed since the cupbearer was restored to serve Pharaoh. And the cupbearer told the story. He was there with the baker. They both have dreams. They're in this royal prison. Joseph is in prison up to that point because the cupbearer forgot him. But if you go back to the previous chapter 40, you see the cupbearer going, don't forget me. Hey, dude, don't forget me when you see Pharaoh. All right? Right on, man. And he fades and he doesn't say anything. Joseph trying to get him into his employment to get out of there, but he doesn't. He stays for 2 more years. Anybody ever been forgotten? I've certainly felt that way. I've felt forgotten. And I've had the experience of being forgotten by others, but as I've come to understand, God does not forget. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. He knows everything. He knows you're rising up. He knows you're setting down. He knows you by name. He's written, inscribed even your name in the palm of his hand. Come on, somebody say, I'm not forgotten. God knows me. Go ahead, say that. God knows me. Yeah. People will forget you, though. He's in prison for 12 years. Joseph is in prison for 12 years. That makes him 30 years old, approximately. Does that sound familiar? It's the time when priests go into the ministry. It's the time when Jesus went into his earthly ministry, 30 years old. And you see the hand of God just moving and bringing about his plan, which is so amazing to me. The time had come for Joseph to be delivered, and these dreams of all those years ago now begin to come to fruition. You got to think that he'd maybe given up hope. 2 years he's in prison, don't hear anything. He's in charge, he has favor. But he's still down there, and everything is about to change. Write in your notes, everything's about to change. The moment for change has arrived. It's a set time. Every seed has a time of germination. Thank you. And when the time of germination is done, the right amount of heat and water, and it germinates, it then sprouts. God has a moment. God has a timing, I believe, for America. God has a timing for every single person here. I certainly have done things to cause his time to be delayed, but I certainly don't try to do that anymore. God's omnipotent hand can change anything, and the moment of change has come for Joseph. God's about to act through three people. Write in your notes. Pharaoh, of course, he has two dreams. He's in charge. The cupbearer loses his amnesia and remembers. Nice. And Joseph. Joseph is about to be used in dream interpretation. So as you look at this text, let's look at it tonight. Pharaoh has two dreams and no one can interpret them. It's interesting. All you see behind the scenes, God forming everything, setting everything up in time, while he's outside of time, he's in a place called eternity. Yet in time, he's actively involved in the affairs of man, bringing about his plan, his will, his dream. But none of the magicians can. They're all stumped. Pharaoh's supposed to be like God, but I guess he's having a problem here. Cupbearer remembers Joseph. One of the things you'll find, and you'll know that God's time has come for you, is when someone else, listen closely, I've had this happen a number of times, when someone else pleads your case, they know all the facts, and you don't have to say a thing. That's one of the indications that God is opening doors for you and setting you up. Just all of a sudden, somebody said such and such and so, and you're the guy, and you've been chosen. That's one of the ways that you see God moving in our lives. You're constantly trying to manipulate, constantly. You don't ever see Joseph, I want out of the prison. He's never begging to get out of prison. You never see it. You never see him arguing that. I mean, he does say, I was put here unjustly. He does say that when he sends the cupbearer off in his employment, and then the cupbearer conveniently forgets. But you never see him arguing. It is a picture of Jesus before the shearers is silent, like a lamb before the shearers is silent. Jesus answered him not a word. There's much types and shadows here between Joseph and Jesus. Pharaoh's deeply troubled by the dreams. I mean, he's really bothered. He quickly brings Joseph in verse 14. And when he tells the dreams to Joseph, he emphasizes the lean cows. That's verse 19. It's a deeper description. Scrawny, lean, ugly. I skipped some of those for the sake of time. There's not much difference. In fact, you know from Joseph, and the dreams are, those two dreams are one and the same. And it's a recounting, but when they're told the second time, there's some subtle changes that don't impact what I feel like God is saying to us tonight. Joseph interprets a dream immediately. The word of knowledge is clearly seen operating through Joseph. Word of knowledge, he has knowledge that he would not normally have except for God Almighty gave it to him. It's called the word of knowledge, or word of wisdom. You could call it a word of wisdom, I suppose, as well. The dream is one in two parts. Joseph's dreams were in two parts as well. When you see that in the Old Testament, the two dreams, how many of you had repetition in dreams? Many times God will give the same dream twice. It's a confirmation that is from him. It just shows divine authority. God has revealed to Joseph what he's about to do, verse 25 and verse 32. Seven is emphasized, seven cows, 7 years, seven famine, the number of completeness. I'm moving quickly. You guys all right? There'd be 7 years of prosperity, 7 years of famine, and the famine would be so great that the years of abundance would not be remembered. I mean, can you imagine that? that things are so hard they could hardly, they don't remember at all. And so Joseph counsels Pharaoh. Wow. A young Hebrew slave is now giving wisdom to the strongest nation leader, the strongest nation, who Pharaoh is really like the embodiment of God. That's how they saw Pharaoh. So this is a significant elevation. One man is to be in charge over many commissioners in order to store food and during the years of abundance. The man is discerning and why. I've wondered, you know, is he promoting himself right now? But I really believe that the way that Joseph was not self-promotion. He's just saying the facts. I don't think in his wildest imaginations he realizes he's going to be brought out of prison. I think he's saying, like, well, I'm just going back and they're going to forget about me just like the cupbearer did. He says, no, you need a guy that's really got it. He's got nothing to lose, so he just says it straight. What are they going to do, kill me? I'm in prison. I guess you could kill me. You need somebody who's discerning. You need someone really smart over all the commissioners, the store of food during the years of abundance. One man must be discerning and wise. He's telling me, you need this. And Joseph is chosen to become the second in charge of all of Egypt. I mean, that's kind of amazing. That's amazing. But if you look at it from the outside and you don't see the handiwork of God turning the cogs of circumstances and giving dreams, it's, you have to see it. And you have to see that Joseph, who was a 17-year-old, an immature 17-year-old, which I taught you about in previous messages, who was hated by his brothers and a high level of dysfunction in his family, and God chose him anyway. In fact, that was the name of the message. God chose you anyway. He said, my family's dysfunctional. Welcome to the human race. We all have dysfunctional families. And his family was dysfunctional, and his father didn't really protect him and gave him favor and all of that and gave him a special little pansy coat that he got to wear, and then his brothers could make fun of him all the time. Yeah, I said pansy. Technicolor coat, pardon me. I'm sure maybe it had pansies on it. I don't know. God's speaking to us really very simply tonight on this graduation night. God can change your situation in one moment. But the question is, are you prepared for that? Just as an illustration, I asked some people, it's called being instant. I asked some people to, if they were ready to do something tonight. Half of them were ready and the other half weren't ready. And I just realized that in life, if you're ready, when the call comes, you can shine. But if you're not ready, you can pick somebody else. Yeah, it's a overnight breakthrough of elevation. But it was 30 years of Joseph walking the earth, learning lessons, forgiving his brothers, learning to walk in humility. And we so often want to get, you know, the big, shiny breakthrough. And it's going to come. The dream's going to come to pass. Because God can change your whole situation in one moment. But are you prepared for that? Are you prepared? It reminds me of Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke, I've written his book, A Life of Fire, which is like mandatory reading. It's a giant book. Life of Fire. He gave me my own copy personally, and he signed my name in it. And he says, live a life of fire. I'm like, yes. I got an impartation when he handed me the book. Reinhard Bonnke was an evangelist, but he was helping this other really big evangelist. And it's this massive crusade, and I'm probably not telling it 100% accurate, but this is how I recall it. And the evangelist just up and says, the Lord told me I have to leave. You're in charge. You're preaching. I got to go. He said, no. He says, yes, peace. And he left. And Reinhard Bonnke is having a nervous breakdown because he's going to have to preach in front of a million people or whatever, 700,000 people or something in Nigeria. What am I going to do? I don't have the skill. I don't have the ability. And the Lord just totally rebuked him and said, my words in my mouth are the same as my words in your mouth. Go preach. He had a great outpouring, but he was ready. He was prepared. He knew the word. He had maybe sermons prepared. He was prayed up. He was going after God. We want promotion. We want like an overnight breakthrough, but you got to do the work. The soil of your circumstances will create an incredible tree of righteousness if you'll allow it to. Are you ready? Are you ready to be elevated? Or are you late all the time? Or do you look like you crawled out of the bottom of the hamper? Of course, I'm not talking to the KSM students. I don't care how I look. I'm going to dress and do whatever I want to. Well, good for you. And you'll get whatever you get. I'm not saying clothes make the man. They certainly don't. But the word of God does, and him dwelling in you. And, you know, you've got to be ready for whatever's coming your way. I think it was Pastor Gill that said, you know, you've got to dress for where you want to go. You look very sharp tonight. And we're not into fashion plates. We are into preparation and being excellent. And Joseph was ready. He had passed all kinds. Is that my clue? Well, you might as well play to make people feel encouraged. Appreciate you. What made Joseph ready for this moment that he was, what made Joseph ready for his moment has nothing to do with clothes. It has everything to do, please listen, it has everything to do with the fact that he constantly honored God. Constantly honored God. He was always honoring God. He was always giving God praise. You never see him belly aching and complaining and murmuring. Joseph answers to Potiphar's wife and to the cupbearer and to Pharaoh. I mean, it's constant. Like he says to Potiphar's wife, I can't do such a thing before God. He's honoring God. That's key. If you're going to be ready for the moment of change and the moment of elevation, you must constantly be honoring him. I was in India, I don't know, 8 weeks ago. And I had my Bible in India, and I was sitting in a chair, and I put my Bible under my seat. And that's a no-no for their culture. Like, some of you have Bibles on toilet tanks. That would be a no-no in my book also. But the Bible under my seat was a sign of dishonor. And I didn't really connect it that way. But our beloved Mohan says to me, Pastor, would you like me to hold your Bible for you? I said, no. And he says, are you sure? And I look around and I realize, is that bad? He says, yes. I said, okay. So I pulled my Bible out. That which you honor, that which you magnify before him, when no one's looking, God sees all of that. Look what he did in Pharaoh's presence. He didn't glorify himself. He didn't beg to get out of prison. He glorified God. What'd he do? He glorified God. Try that. Try glorifying God. And he showed that God had all authority. He showed God had all authority. I don't have all authority. God's got it all. And he showed that God was concerned about Pharaoh and his people, which is, that's a profound section of scripture. He's concerned. God cares whether you die in a famine or whether you're going to make it. He wants you to make it. He wants you to live. He wants you to live the dream, in fact. So he'll send you a plan. God could trust Joseph. Listen closely. God could trust Joseph, and therefore Pharaoh could trust him as well. Can God trust you? Can God trust you? Oh, yeah, he can. We'll see. Certainly, you've been faithful to follow through all the KSM graduates and our chaplains. You've been faithful to fulfill the requirements. You took tests today. You know what the real test is? Your life. There's coming tremendous elevation to you. Be ready for it. Expect it. Be ready. Be ready to stand up and be able to lead somebody to Christ, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Get a boldness. Get a fire on the inside of you. Be like Joseph. Can God trust you? Come on, can God trust you? We got to have God's Spirit at work in us. And then lastly, this is a word to all the graduates and our new chaplains. Delight yourself in the Lord, in Psalm 37. He will give you the desires of your heart. He's chosen you and selected you to be alive at this time. Before I ask Dr. Ibanga to come up, I think about just a couple scenarios I know that, like, because you just never know when it's going to happen. But if you're not ready, it's not going to happen for you. Austin Davis, Pastor Chris Davis's son, your cousin, Pastor Kirsten's cousin, he was forced to play the drums. We didn't have a drummer. Pastor Chris was a worship leader, so I don't know how old he was. 9, 10. You're playing. You're going to learn it. He hated it, but he obeyed his father, and he started playing. He almost quit, but then he got revitalized and started really getting into it and became this amazing drummer. Well, became a worship leader, too. Along came Kerry Job. Anybody ever heard of Kerry Job? We had a Kerry Job concert and the drummer didn't come. Imagine that. You guys have a drummer? Yeah, Austin can play. He's tight. He's got it going on. He played. She loved him, his gift and the anointing on him. She said, "Would you please travel with me?" He went from high school, graduating high school, he went straight into going on the road with Kerry Job, was the longest member of her band, I think, even to date. He left there eventually, years later. He's now, did we sing any of his songs tonight? I mean, we sing his song. He produces music. We sing his music here and is sung all over the world. And God is using this young man who's now older. And it all happened because he was willing to take these two little wooden sticks and obey his father. And he entered into his dream. He's producing clothes. He's married. He's got beautiful children. Listen, God's got a moment for you, but if your attitude's not right and your heart's not right and you haven't prepared, he'll step over a seemingly qualified person and pick someone whose heart is right. That's what he did with Joseph. There's a moment of elevation and it's a lifetime of preparation. And I will tell you that you're being prepared for something that you might not even be aware of. I'm on the anvil myself. Anybody else? Blows of the hammer of his word, trying to form me into something that I'm not quite sure what it is. But it's been really good for me the first 30 years. He's forming something. I'm going to keep doing it. How about you? I'm going to keep obeying. I'm going to keep honoring God. I'm going to keep being faithful. So help me, God. Oh, with all the strength that works so powerfully in me, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to let up. I'm going to continue to prepare my heart. I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to turn the other cheek. I'm going to give. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be ready when the call comes. When the call comes, when the invitation comes, I want to be ready. How about you? I'm going to live the dream. Come on, say that. I'm going to live the dream.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.